Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a very special guest with us today, an internationally known healer, Reverend William Monroe. And for those of you who are tuning in this afternoon, I would really appreciate if you go to his website at www.christlightministries.org. That's www.christlightministries.org, because this is a very special gentleman that has been working with the Christ Light for over 35 years in healing physical diseases such as cancer, as well as emotional diseases such as depression. And he comes from us from Mexico, and he's now living in New Mexico in the United States, and we are really very blessed to have him. So thank you so much in joining me on my show. I just so appreciate having you here. Hello?
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you are welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about your life? Like, what drew you into working with God the way that you do?
Well, this is starting when I'm a little boy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You are there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yep.
This is what is starting happens when I'm a little boy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we start when starting see happens in, when we are 2 years old. And then when my sister, she's starting to be very, very sick. And my mother told me she's in the hospital and they're finding a kidney stone. And I said, okay, mommy, I can go. Okay, come on, let's go. And then we go over there and I asked my mother, where's my sister? It's in the room. So, okay, mom. And then I go in and then I asked my sister, what happened? She said, oh, I have a lot of pain. I can't move. I can't walk. Oh, okay. Okay. Lay down, face down. And then I'm starting praying, working, and I'm moving my hands. And later she said, what are you doing? For what? I don't have no pain. No pain? She said, no pain. Oh, and then the doctors come in because they weren't ready to go through the surgery for the kidney stone. And the doctor looked at her and said, what happened? You are all right? Yeah, I don't have no pain. No pain. And she said, no pain. Oh, my God, what am I to go and let me check and then bring her again for the test and they don't find anything. They said, this is something really happened. What happened? No, my brother started to pray for me. Well, this is something really unbelievable. But it's only God. That's perfect. You can go out to your house. You have no kidney stone. And that's what happened in the first time, you know.
Wow. So this is Reverend Mary.
This is Reverend Mary.
Yes.
I'd like to tell you what happened before that, if I may.
Yes, please do. And thank you so much for joining us. Reverend Mary is also a channel that works with Reverend Monroe. And she joins Reverend Monroe this afternoon in talking about Reverend Monroe's work as well as her own work. So thank you so much. Yes, please do.
Okay. Well, this episode that he was telling you about happened after that. He was like about 9 or 10 when that was healing with his sister. But he came in with this gift, and when he was a little boy, about 2 or 3 years old, he was already seeing spirits, and he would point them out to his mom and say, Mom, look, see that lady over there? And she'd go, where? I don't see anything. And from what I've gathered from talking to people who were gifted with this since birth, since it's normal to them, they think everybody can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't see that. So she said, oh, you have to be quiet because people are going to think you're crazy. And there was a lady in their town, the little small Mexican town, who was a very devout religious spiritual lady and also a very mystical psychic lady. And his mother went to see her about him because she was sort of perplexed about what he kept saying he was seeing. And this lady told her that, yes, it was true, he was seeing these things. And she actually told his mother his whole life. And she said he's going to become a very powerful instrument of healing for Father God, but your job right now is to protect him and to help his abilities grow and nurture them. So that's what his mother did. She went to him when he was very little, like 3 or 4 years old, and she apologized. She said, I'm sorry I didn't believe you. Yes, I believe you that what you're seeing is real, and it's a gift from God. But she told him, don't tell anybody else but me, okay? So just talk to me about it. And that's exactly what he did. He was totally quiet about it to everybody except his mother, who did protect him, did shield him, did nurture him, did raise him very devoutly. And thanks to her, his gift was allowed to develop and grow, because kids get shut down so much in school and laughed at. But his was allowed to develop and grow naturally. And that's how it really all started. That's the beginning.
Now, what kind of spirits were you seeing at this very young age?
You know, sometimes happens. Right now, it's a lot of children, it's a lot of kids, they can see spirits. For example, people faces when somebody died, an older grandparents or somebody, and the kids can see a lot, you know.
What she's asking, what did you see when you were little?
Oh, what I see is only what these ladies started walking in the mountains. And I told my mom, and she said, no, I don't see nothing. It's over there, mom. Go over there. Look, look. She said, no, I don't see nothing. She don't see nothing. And then I said, no, the man, look, 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 look. She said, I don't see nothing. Let me tell you something. Don't tell anybody, because I don't see nothing. And it's hard, because nobody can see what you see. Okay, mom, I'm sorry. And this is what is starting to happen when I'm a little boy, you know. And this is what happened with a lot of people. And also now, sometimes people starting talking about they see things in different places. Do you know that?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of freaked out parents coming in because their kids now, the indigo or the crystal children, they're seeing a lot at a young age, and the parents don't know how to deal with it. That's becoming very common.
So do you counsel people on how to handle those kinds of situations?
Yes. Yes, and Reverend Monroe knows from his own experience, because he actually lived it, you know. And it was at a time when there was nothing available as far as information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we're telling them it's a gift and it's not a curse, and it's a blessing, and that they had to protect these kids. And we are sort of educating them in that respect.
Now, yeah. Are these people that have passed over that you're seeing?
Yes.
Okay.
This is really, really, really hard to believe, but this is really the truth. A lot of kids, a lot of people, they saw families. You know, this is the reason why my mom told me, don't tell anybody, you don't see nothing. Nobody believes you. Okay, you have to be quiet. Yes, mom. And it's hard. Really, really, yes. This is what I know, a lot of kids, and I tell them, yeah, you are right. Don't worry. Pray for them, and that's it. This is interesting. Do you know that? You never hear about it?
Have I heard about it? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter happens to be able to see light. And I see light,
uh-huh,
too.
See, this is
that doesn't sense. Surprise me, because you're her mother.
Yes. But it's very, very, very unbelievable. But it's real. You know, you have to trust your kids. You have to trust your family, because some people feel very frustrated, very in a panic,
get
you know.
Scared.
And sometimes they aren't scared, because they don't see nothing. No. And they are scared. They see a lot of things. And then people need to trust the kids, you know. Say, okay, yeah, don't worry. We pray. We can help. Maybe these people need prayer, you know. And then very good for them, you know, when you support your children. How old is your daughter now?
She is 7.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. This is a really good time to talk to her and tell her, don't worry. It's okay. Don't worry. We pray. And that's it. You understand, and it's very easy to tell her about it, okay?
Well, what we tell the parents is that it's a gift, and usually the children stop being panicked when they realize it's a gift from God, and that if they see somebody to just pray for them, like they have something important to do, which it is, that they can help and help the person go on. Have you seen the show The Ghost Whisperer by any chance?
No, but I've heard of it.
Okay, because this lady has the ability to see like these earthbound souls, and she helps them to work out whatever's going on and to cross over to the light. I mean, whoever wrote this show had some really good knowledge, but that's what the kids can do. They, you know, if they're very young, we can just say, no, you can pray for them and you can help them to go on. And then they feel good about it instead of bad, that, you know, they're doing something good to help others.
Now, how did it feel to you when you first started seeing these people? Was it scary to you?
No, really. This is something really, I don't know. I never be scared. I don't know why, but I never be scared. It's something really, I don't know why. Well, do you know, in the Bible say, Father God, when we die, ashes to ashes?
Mm-hmm.
When we, where is the earth, is the earth, and when we die, the soul will go to the purgatory. It's unbelievable. This is what happened with a lot of people, you know. The spirit is nothing to be in a panic, but you have to remember, pray for them, and it's fine. You are protected.
I think he wasn't afraid too, Rochelle, because it was so natural for him. And the other people that I have talked to that were little when they had it thought everybody could see it, so they weren't really afraid. It's when the kids seem to be older and have an onset of this, like they haven't had it. He had it ever since he was born, so he wasn't afraid of it because to him it was normal.
Okay.
But the kids who get it like at age 12 or something, which is what we've seen around that age, we've seen several people around that age who get it, then they panic because it's not normal to them and they don't understand what's happening.
Is there a difference with some of these spirits? Like a lot of these, I've had a couple of people on the show that have talked about the people on the other side aren't necessarily all wonderful and they have some issues. And they're not necessarily good issues. They can be rather dangerous. Is there a difference in discrimination in the way that you handle these spirits on the other side, or is it just all the same, or how do you approach
it? What she's asking is there a different way that you handle the negative spirits on the other side and the positive spirits on the other side?
Well, it's almost the same in the physical level. There are good people and bad people. You know that.
But how do you handle them?
But we can pray and walking and talking, and it's very interesting. This
but is there a difference?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Difference in the way you work with the negative spirits and
yes,
the positive?
Yes, it has to be negative.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, there's different prayers and different techniques and things that he uses for the negative spirits as opposed to the positive ones. And I've had a lot of experience with this too, Rochelle, and I really believe that just because somebody dies, they're not automatically enlightened. It's like, you know, whatever level we're at when we leave is the level we are over there. And I think people who trust anything that comes through, it's not a good idea.
It's not a good idea.
How's that? Was that diplomatic?
Yeah, I've learned that myself the hard way. You can't necessarily trust, even though it is all from God, it's not necessarily all of the light. And there is a difference in that regard.
Definitely.
So what kind of techniques are different? Like what is the different approaches?
Okay. She wants to know like specifically when somebody's negative, how would you approach that in trying to help somebody who's like a negative entity? You try to help them go on. Let's just say there's somebody that's stuck here, and you're trying to help them go on. What would you do?
Well, for example, you remember the lady over there. This is a lady. She won't see me, and the whole family bring her. And I see her glasses so dark in her face, and say, oh, no, something really happened with this lady, you know? And then the family told me what happened. Sometimes she's very possessed. She can change very fast, and she's starting to be very aggressive. And sometimes you don't recognize the way that she's acting. And I said, well, we can pray for her, and we can ask the Heavenly Father to bring the power, and they will. They will do it. And later, these ladies, unbelievable, she is very, very complete change her face, you know. And then she's jumping in a chair, and then from the chair, jumping in the bed. Say, well, you can do it. And I said, no, nothing I can do it. God can do everything. And then we can work in and pray for you. And we started working and working and pray and pray. And later, she started screaming and yelling. And 5 minutes later, she feels very relaxed, very quiet. And the whole family said, you are all right? Yeah, I feel good. Did you feel all right? Yes. And she don't have no problem at all after that. This is something really unbelievable.
He's very strong, and he's also very calm. That's the thing that I've noticed with people that are like that, or when he's working with entities like that. He stays balanced. He stays emotionally balanced and calm. And that seems to have a very powerful effect, that right there. I mean, he doesn't have any fear, and he shows no fear. And
right.
They come to respect that.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Now, are these effects, are they stable? Like, for example, with this woman, is she healed for life?
Oh, yeah. For many years, I don't never hear anything. Everything is perfect. She's very happy. The whole family is very happy. And they really appreciate it. I say, well, only God can do it. No human, nobody can do more than God. You have to show Father God your faith, and you have a lot of faith. And this is very important for all the people. Show our Father God your faith. It's what you remember in the Bible. Father God said, show me your faith with action, and I'm very glad in helping you. And that's really important for everybody, you know.
So what you're saying is, regardless of your very strong talents and abilities, that if somebody is not open to the healing process themselves and is open to it by their own free will, it's not going to help them.
You know what happens sometimes? People are very, very skeptical. This is what is very interesting about the camera, aura, because we can take the picture before the healing and after the healing, and people can see the big, big difference. And because what I'm praying, working, people feel when I'm moving my hands,
It helps even skeptical people, but it takes longer.
But it takes longer, yes.
He told me once it's like breaking rocks when people are skeptical because they put up walls and blockages. And if somebody is open, the blessings and the energy and the light can just flow right in. They don't have any obstacles. It can still help a skeptical person, but it will take longer.
Okay.
It still can help.
But you know exactly what happened with Thomas. You have to see to believe. And sometimes people are very, very skeptical, you know. But after they saw a lot of things, so feeling the energy when we pray, they can really begin to be very wide open.
I actually like skeptics because once they believe, they really believe. And there's nobody that can talk them out of anything because they're really staunch in what they know afterwards. You know what I mean? They go from one extreme to the other. It's really interesting.
Tell us about your most skeptical case, because I'd like to get into a lot of your cancer healings, which I just think are phenomenal, that are in your book. And also the aura photographs and the videos can be seen again at www.christministries.org.
Christlight, yeah.
Yes. And you can visit that website and see for yourself, Christlight Ministries, thank you, that photography and the differences, and hear people's expressions of their feelings as they're going through these healings. And I think that's really fascinating. But tell us about your most skeptical case.
He's met me. Is that all right? It's not me. I wasn't the most skeptical, but he wants me to tell you. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
All right. It's in the book. His name was Victor, and he was in Tampa, Florida. We were there right before 9/11. And this was a man who had smoked like 3 or 4 packets a day, I think, of cigarettes. His wife had just died. He had terminal lung cancer. His doctor told him that he was going to die and go home and get his house in order. And the man, he had been married like 30 or 40 years or something like that. And he said he was not going through radiation or chemo or anything like that. And if Reverend Monroe couldn't help him, then just forget it. I mean, he was very, very skeptical. He came twice to see him. The second time, we just have people lie down, like on a massage table when Reverend Monroe is working. That way they don't fall down. And after about a half hour, I went in and I asked him if he could get up. He goes, I can't move. So I said, okay, and we let him rest for another half hour. I went back another half hour later. He still couldn't get up. The third time, he still couldn't get up, so I had Reverend Monroe come and help me. We just had him sit there for a while because he was very dizzy. And then he walked out. And this was like in September, and in January I got a call from him. And he said, I want you to know, I've just been to the doctor. And by the way, his doctor was the head of oncology at, it was the University of Tampa, but he was some high up there guy. He said, I just went for a checkup and I just want you to know I have no cancer. And I said, well, Victor, what did the doctor say to you? And he said, he made me sit there for 2.5 hours while he redid all the lab, including a CAT scan, because the first thing he thought was something was wrong with the lab work. But the doctor was holding up x-rays with the growth in the lungs, the two spots, and then he was holding up the new ones and they were gone. And I said, well, Victor, what do you think that means? And he said, I think that means God still has something he wants me to do. Which was pretty incredible. It's in the book. Did you read that one?
Yes.
And he was extremely skeptical when he came in. So it just shows you it can work. And in his case, it worked fast because we were only there like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And it worked fast on him. But that was incredible to me. Just absolutely incredible to see that. He's telling you about somebody else, but I think this was the most powerful one because
Wow. He
had x-rays before and after.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And what was the one that you were thinking of, Reverend Monroe?
Okay.
Oh, this is Mary.
No, you go. You talk.
Because I try to, you know.
He thinks his English isn't too good, but I think it's fine.
It's fine. I can understand you. I'm sure our audience can, too.
Well, what happened is these men go for the place with the psychic. And she went to know if I'd be prayed for him and for his wife. And I said, yeah, sure. And then I'm starting to pray and pray with them. And then they show me they have some kind of protection. And I do what they call the muscle test. And I tell him, well, let me do it before pray for you, okay? Let me do it, the muscle test. And I did it. And then I tell him, okay, let me pray for all why you have your protector. And then I do it again, the muscle test. And they say, oh, my God, what are you doing? And then he talked to his wife, and they come in for the healing, and they are very grateful, very appreciated. And he is sending a testimony, I think, that we have in the book. I don't know if you see this testimony for this man, very skeptical, very little.
Yeah, he was a private investigator.
When
we saw his aura picture, it was all red, and the part where his heart was just totally blank. And I said, it looks like you need a vacation, or you have a very stressful job. He said, I'm a private investigator. And I said, oh, that makes sense. So then he wanted a healing treatment. He was talking about it to Reverend Monroe. And he was very negative, and he goes, okay, how much is this going to cost me? And Reverend Monroe said, nothing. And so he gave him the healing treatment, and then we took his picture afterwards, and it was totally different. It was a very beautiful blue, and it had white, and his heart had color. He was really just very blown out by the difference in the colors. And then he wrote us afterwards. He said when he and his girlfriend or his wife went back to the motel after they left us, that there was this huge rainbow that was on their door. And they looked around, and there was no source of light, no window, no mirror, no reflection on anything that it could have come from.
Wow.
And he said that he wasn't so skeptical anymore after that. He was pretty skeptical. Those are the two that come to mind.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to go through here and just read some of these testimonials because I think they're so interesting, and it'll give our audience also some idea of the type of work that you do. So I'm just going to randomly do that. And I also want to say that your fee is extremely reasonable. He asked for a donation of $60, which I think is reasonable. And it looks like from your website, too, that you do a sliding scale for people who may not be able to afford healing, which is...
All my friends told me, well, you are the same for many, many years. Look, everything is so high and expensive for everything, and you're doing exactly the same for many years. I said, no. To be the servant of God, this is the most important, my mission. Oh, my God. Well, it's okay. My friends always criticize me, you know, because they charging more money than me for many years, and I said, no, I never change. People is not only hungry money. It's the best thing is God's power, and that's it. And that's why it's, for many years it's the same, you know. And then she started looking for any specific testimony from people.
Oh, just tell me what page you're on, huh? I'll follow you.
What page?
I'm on 101.
Oh, 101?
Mm-hmm.
This is freeway to San Jose, no? You remember 101?
Maybe she's never been there.
Oh, no, that's right.
I got it.
She got it now.
Okay. It says, Dear Reverend Monroe, I wanted to thank you again. I just wanted to write a few lines just to let other people know that I am a 31-year-old girl, never been married, nor do I have kids. I was told I had ovarian cancer, and I needed to have a hysterectomy. I thought it was the end of the world. I came to see Reverend Monroe on Saturday, and I told him about my situation. He told me to come in on Sunday, and he would give me a prayer healing session. On the following Monday, I had surgery. My doctor was so surprised. He removed two tumors that I had, but I had no cancer. He was so surprised that he told me, whatever God you are praying to, keep praying. My surgery was a success. I had no complications nor any discomfort. Now, God willing, I will be able to have kids someday. Thanks to Reverend Monroe and God, I am doing great. I will be grateful to you for life, Norma.
It's a very beautiful, remember? It's unbelievable.
It is beautiful. And there's many testimonials around cancer, which is incredibly surprising and such a blessing for so many people.
Yeah, really, really is, you know. This, because sometimes some families, I know for the families, the second generation, because for many years they know, they come in to see me. And that's what people tell your little kids, your grandchildren, they come in to see me. And this is what really happens, you know. What is another testimony of the other person? You're looking for another?
Let's go to 148.
148. Okay, 148. We can check
148. Okay. Alrighty. Dear Reverend Monroe, I felt a change in my body and a moving in my sides when I went to see Dr. Johnson at the hospital. They gave me a biopsy test and found that the cells in my body were cancerous but not progressive. They told me to abort my baby. Then I came to see Reverend Monroe. Heaven knows I am healed, for I feel so good and I know I am whole. I know that if I would not have seen Reverend Monroe, this would have been a different story altogether. The Lord is so wonderful. I feel really good. My body feels brand new. I thank the Lord for Reverend William Monroe. I went to see the doctor September 27th, and they gave me a checkup and could not find any cancerous cells. They could not believe it and asked me to come back in 1 month. Now, these are the kind of testimonials that are throughout the book. Is the type of healing that you do, is it specific? specific to each person, or is it the same kind of energy?
No, it's almost for everybody's different.
For everybody's different.
Absolutely. Depends what kind of problems they have. It's absolutely different.
So what exactly do you do for each specific person? Do you get, like, messages from God or...
Yes. And then when I'm starting working, I'm starting to see the aura. This is what I know, the color. Do you are familiar with the aura?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, because a lot of people, they say, what does that mean? And I tell them, well, sometimes you hear a lot of people say they feel with a low energy. What does that mean, low energy? But sometimes people don't understand it. What happened with the aura? And when I see, when I'm starting talking to the person, I can see the color. And I know the area where is the most very sensitive color. And this one,
the reason it's different for everyone, Rochelle, is he's looking over their heads when he's talking to them, because everything is there in the aura, mental, spiritual, physical, emotional. And he can see exactly what's going on, where they're sick, whatever. And then when he's working, he works with the chakras when he goes up and down the body, and he sees the colors that go in individually, and he adjusts the colors until the chakras are balanced. And each chakra for each person, depending on what's going on with them, is different. So he can adjust the colors, or he'll go through different colors, and when he gets to the right color that's for healing, the chakra, the body will lock into that color. Okay, we can't see him. A lot of people who are psychic and have that gift can see exactly what he's doing. But he goes through each of the seven, and he balances all seven of the chakras with the specific color that's needed at the time for the healing. And that's why it's different for everybody.
Now, is it the same color? I would imagine if you, for example, if you're working on the orange chakra, are you using orange as the balancing light? Is it all different colors?
Well, everybody is different, remember. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has the same. For example, when they are under emotional, they have a lot of stomach problems or emotional problems, you know, the physical. When you are going into a lot of stress, you and the physical level, you begin to be total imbalance. Sometimes the people, the sugar goes so high, cholesterol sometimes they go so high, low pressure is so high. And this is what is the area. When I'm starting to pray, people can feel something. People feel tingling. Sometimes people feel a lot of pressure. Sometimes people feel something pulling out. And it's very interesting, you know. This is the reason why everybody has in the different colors. You have to work in a little bit more and more and more. Depends how people feel after the healing treatments, you know. For example, you want to paint the blue color, but you need a light color. You can combination with a white color, correct?
Yeah. Okay. He says sometimes he has to use two colors.
Oh, okay.
For two ballots. It just depends what's going on in the person's life, their environment, what their stress level is. And he just keeps adjusting it and blending. He's sort of like a painter. Adjusting and blending until the body, the chakra will lock onto this color that it needs and hold that color. And that's where the healing comes in, because he can see exactly what the chakra responds to. And
now,
everybody's different.
Now, as you're seeing what the chakra is responding to, are you intuitively picking out these colors, or is this coming through from you, from God?
Yes, correct. Coming from Father God. To the person, you know, they can use, because coming through my crown center goes through the physical body with the person. Do you a familiar remember the white color in the picture that we have over there?
Yes.
Okay, this is very interesting. Why this camera shows the white color? It's coming all over. For example, our Lord Jesus, sometimes you can see the color in the picture, the world with white.
Gold and white, and that's what comes through you.
Exactly what happens.
And then it's, as the power comes through him, then it's dispersed in whatever color the person needs for each chakra.
Okay, so it's not necessarily something that he has to intellectually or intentionally define.
No. It's just the instrument, and he's the first one to tell you it's God, it's not him.
Do you see the video?
Yes.
Okay, do you see when I'm starting praying, working, the color coming, different color coming?
Yes, and I noticed that for you, your aura looks like it's a rainbow. So you have all those colors present right off the bat. Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
People have to sometimes to see to believe. This is sometimes is what happens with the very skeptical people.
That's why we put that in the book, so people would, you know, they say a picture's worth a thousand words. That's why we put it in.
Is there any other scientific advances that are coming out that can measure?
Yes. The man who originated the camera has come out with, we're trying to get the upgrade today, as a matter of fact, for the shows the aura in motion, which is what's on the website. That's the Winora camera. And he's coming, he's already, it's out to show a 3D aura. In other words, through the computer, it will show it in 3D. I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds fabulous.
That
so,
sounds wonderful.
If anybody's interested in that, it's, Winora. What's his company's name? Progen. P-R-O-G-E-N. The Progen company, and it's in Redwood City, California. And they can go on the internet, probably www.progen.com, because I know he's listed under that. He's also listed under auras. If somebody just goes into Google and types auras, his will come up, but it's Progen. He's the originator of this camera, the still camera from 30 years ago, but this, oh, 35 years ago now, but the computer camera is the last few years, and this 3D part is new. He's sort of, we were teasing him, we were calling him, he said he's sort of like the Thomas Edison of today, because he's really good with this.
And it sounds like you're going to develop that program on your website.
Yeah, we have it. I mean, we're sending for it. We're getting the upgrade for the 3D part, and that will be really fantastic to have. I'm excited to see it myself. But it is out and it is available now.
Oh, that is wonderful. When do you think that will be on your site so I could let everybody
know? I don't know. We're just sending for the upgrade today, so as soon as we can get it, we'll have it up.
Okay, so people, just check back to www.christlightministries.org, because that's going to be fantastic video.
Right.
What was your most severe case?
What was your hardest case, your worst case, the person who is the most sick? She's asking her. I think it might have been me. Because I had
Maybe.
Been in bed for about 3 years before I had seen him. I had a lot of complications from a automobile accident.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to me, and the doctors didn't understand it, was, because we were rear-ended, and what happened was it had knocked my etheric body almost all the way out. I was hanging on by a thread, and if that had gone, I would have been dead. But I was very sick. I had a lot of internal problems, and of course the doctors only knew what they could see on an x-ray. At the same time, what happened to me was I was like blown open psychically. There were like three chakras that were blown open. And that's how I met River Monroe. Is I was going to a chiropractor and my spine was locked and blocked and he couldn't move it. He said he had never seen a spine like that. And he knew River Monroe. River Monroe had helped him and he sent me to him. And Reverend Monroe gave me a healing treatment, and then I went back to the chiropractor. He could manipulate my spine again. But he had to, through the healing treatments, I had all the physical problems. I had the spiritual opening. Plus, I had the etheric body that was out, so I felt like I was moonwalking. I had my equilibrium was shot. I couldn't walk. I couldn't read. I couldn't watch TV. And the doctors kept saying they couldn't find anything. And I was literally in bed for like a week at a time. I'd get out of bed. I'd go down to see Reverend Monroe. I'd get the healing treatment. I'd come back. I'd be in bed for another week and get up and go again. And that was it for quite a while. But what he was doing with the healing treatments was slowly merging the etheric body back into my physical body, which has to be, because all healing first takes place in your inside out through the aura, through the etheric field, and then manifests to the physical. And he could only put it in a little at a time because of what I was going through about spiritually being blown open, psychically being blown open. So it wasn't a 1-2 process for me. And my body had to get stronger little by little, which it did. But it was a very hard experience for all of us involved. And I went down there several times just saying, okay, either heal me or let me die because I can't stand this anymore. And he said to me, you know better. If you die or you kill yourself, you'll have to come back and go through twice what you're going through right now. And I said, boy, you know how to keep me here.
Boy, that's not going to be a plan, huh?
Yeah, I said, you know how to keep me here. So I stayed. So I think it was probably me. I was always embarrassed when people would ask me down there, oh, how long have you been coming? And I didn't want to tell them because I didn't want them to think it was going to take that long for them to be healed, because I knew for me, there were a lot of things going on all at once. So I think I was his toughest case. I tell him I think I've probably had about 2 billion healing treatments. We laugh about it now. But I'm very strong and I'm very healthy. And I did have one other thing happen to me just recently when we were working back in California.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the my gynecologist, who's been my gynecologist for a long time, and I had a lump in my breast on the left side, and he told me, he said, this is something that's very scary, and if I want you to get off of all caffeine for 2 weeks, and if you still have it, then we're going to have to go the next step. And so I went back out to the car, and I told Reverend Monroe, I said, I am not doing chemo. I am not doing radiation. If I have cancer, I'm going to go sit on a beach for 6 months. Because I've seen what that does to, I've seen what it did to people in my family, and no way I'm not doing it. And I said, there's no way that I could even stop caffeine, because we were working very long hours, 14, 16 hours. And he told me, he said, do not worry about it. Well, I know enough over the years, if he says don't worry about it, then it will be okay, and I just sort of relaxed my head. So that's exactly what I did. And I did not give up caffeine. In fact, I probably drank more because we were working so many hours.
That is, you can trust the process, right?
Yeah,
you might as well go for all the caffeine.
I drank double.
Yeah.
And when I went back in to see him, the lump was gone.
Wow.
And he said to me, oh, it's gone. And he was looking, and he was looking, and he was looking, and he couldn't find it. He goes, well, I guess getting off that caffeine really helped you. And I didn't tell him. Just tell him. I said, yeah, I guess it did. So that just happened. That just happened like last month. But I knew in my mind there was no way I was going to go any further with that. So I guess God still has something else he wants me to do, too.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, I wanted to get back to that process, because it's so interesting as you're talking about skeptical people and about their turnaround in their belief system, and you're talking about not to worry about what God is doing through you and that all is going to be okay. How important is the receiver or the patient? How important is trust in this process? Is it important, or does it really matter? A, B, or C.
If they don't totally...
No, if they don't trust it. Like, for you, you automatically...
For so many years, I know. But
yeah.
If somebody comes to you and they're very skeptical and...
Well, sometimes, you know, what happened after the first session or the first treatment, they can feel the energy for sure.
Right.
People can feel it right there.
Yeah.
For example, the man with the neck roll, the Escobar recommended. Tell him this is the last.
No, he wants me to tell you there was a man who had been, he was very skeptical, and that's what they're skeptics in this book too, who came to him. He had been to chiropractors and acupuncturists and orthopedic surgeons and stuff, and some friends who have known Reverend Monroe for a long time convinced him to go see him, and he was very skeptical. And after one treatment, his neck was fine. So he definitely believed. I mean, he couldn't stop talking about it. Because, I mean, he went to Reverend Monroe as a last resort, and he gets people like that who come as a last resort. And then his wife insisted that he go back to the chiropractor because he had already made an appointment, and he didn't want to go. And he went back, and whatever they did, I don't know, but he was back in pain again. And so he came back to Reverend Monroe, and Reverend Monroe fixed him with the healing, adjusted him very well with the healing techniques, with the energies, and all his pain was gone again. You know, he doesn't physically touch the people. It's the energies that come through him that do the work. And this man had no pain the second time again. And he told him, he said, I'm sorry. I let my wife talk me back into going to the chiropractor, but I have no pain. I feel fine. And I'm not going back again. So he was totally skeptical when he came in. So I don't know how to answer that one. I think God knows where people are on a soul level, and I think perhaps they can be, like, skeptical outwardly, and maybe on a soul level they're not. I don't know exactly what to work, but I have seen it work with really skeptical people, and who knows, you know, how long they've been suffering. Somebody comes in, maybe they've been suffering their whole life.
So it sounds like
I don't have a direct answer. I know it's easier if people are open. Generally,
it's a little faster.
It definitely, because you don't have to push through all the blockages. I think this man was at the end of his rope, and even though he was skeptical, he was hoping, you know, that it would work because it was his last hope. Hmm. And I think many people are like that. They don't think it's real, but they hope it is. You know, somewhere they have that in them. But I don't think it's true, but I hope it might be.
In the book, there are many other people.
Yeah.
You know, in the book, there are so many other people that give it to you in experiences. This is the reason why they type in the testimony. I don't know if you read a few other testimonies.
There were a lot of skeptics in there.
Oh, gosh. It's unbelievable. Really, really is, you know. And, this is the other family that come and see me with the crosses and everything. Rosa, remember?
Yeah.
You can. It's very short. Talk.
Yeah, this was a man who came. I don't know. He came in on crutches the first time, and then he came in walking. He was doing very well, but he had a cross or something around his neck that he said his dead brother was his dead brother's, and some priest had blessed it, and it was supposed to be protection for the rest of his life. And Reverend Monroe said, okay, let's just give it a little tune-up here. And he muscle tested the guy with it for strength, and it went straight down. And then Reverend Monroe, his arm, and then Reverend Monroe put energy into this cross, and he tried to move the guy's arm and muscle tested. He couldn't move it. At that point in time, his wife and his grown daughter who were with him started pulling everything out of their purse. I wish I had had a video camera. Everything they had, a cross, a picture, a rose, or whatever they had in their purse, they were pulling out, and they handed Reverend Monroe this big pile of stuff and said, here, can you bless this?
Oh, yeah.
We got a big kick out of that.
Cool.
You could see
I imagine so.
No.
Funny.
But you know what? It's a good idea when these people are super, super skeptical people. They come in with me, and I tell them, well, you have to see to believe. Okay, you have any crosses or any medals or anything.
Or even any jewelry that they wear.
Any jewelry or anything
that they wear, a ring.
I will show you with action the truth that is coming from God. And that is very interesting for people, you know. This is what I tell everybody. Okay, you don't believe it? Okay, I will show you with action. They are pray and I ask for Father God for your protection. And then I put the energy in this. People can really feel right there.
Yeah,
after
they
that.
Feel it and they see it. And I think that's what he's talking about. Some people have to see to believe, and they're shown. And if it, and a lot of times it's just whatever they're wearing. If they have a ring that they wear or a necklace that they wear, it's really powerful that way.
Now,
and
do you?
Any friend, that, for example, any of your friends, they don't really believe that, tell them. They're very glad to pray for the rosaries or crosses or whatever they use it for protection, and they can see the big difference. And after that, watch out what they talk to you about it.
Now,
it's very interesting, really, really. I agree with them. You know, sometimes people are very only hungry money. They're charging a lot of money for nothing. Mm-hmm. I agree. This is what I say. With action, you have to show people the powers come from God.
That's right. It comes through God. That's
absolutely,
right.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the work that you're doing now. Do you travel across the U.S.? Do you give lectures? Can you share a little bit about what's going on?
Pointing at me. Well, he was in California 30 years, so he's like got three generations of people there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go there, it's really interesting. You see, like, parents who brought their kids when they were little. Now their kids are grown up and they bring their kids. So he's got a big following there.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Monroe is 65 years young. He just turned 65.
Wonderful.
And he's like, I say 65 going on 5 because he's very, has that childlike quality that is special. And so New Mexico is,
remember Santa Fe.
Yeah, Mexico is a retirement place. It's a place for him to relax and to get strong. It's very beautiful here, very quiet. We're 7,200 feet up in the mountain.
So can people go there where you're at now to get healing?
Yes, we have a little chapel here. We are about 20 minutes outside of Albuquerque and about an hour, a little over an hour from Santa Fe. We're sort of off of I-40, yes. So but people can come here. They can call us and come here. Or we're going to be in San Jose, California for about 3 weeks in May. And I can give that number if anybody wants to call there.
Okay, great. Why don't we give those two places so people know how to get a hold
okay.
of you. And it's
in New Mexico.
Yep.
It's 505-286-9079. There's two numbers for New Mexico. And the 505-896-5599, if anybody needs Spanish. In California, there's one number. It's Maria, and her number is 408-499-6135. And that's for English and Spanish.
Okay, and
yes,
is it Cedar Crest, New Mexico you're in?
We are actually, well, we're sort of between, well, yeah, Edgewood actually, but Cedar Crest, there's a bunch of little towns right close together. We're about 20 minutes east of Albuquerque.
And it sounds like you have a church there?
We have a little chapel here where Reverend Monroe works, and it's right here where we are. So, yeah, we have a map, but I can't, this is for California, really. He's showing me a map, but it's California map.
And what is that, the name of the chapel?
It's Christ Light Ministries.
Okay, so it's the same name.
It's
the same name.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's www.christlightministries.org.
It's all one word, christlightministries.org. Or if anybody's looking for him and they don't have that, if they go into Google and type Reverend William Monroe, it's M-U-N-R-O, it'll pop up. The website will come up in Google by his name.
Well, it's just been absolutely wonderful and a pleasure to have you on the show and to experience your healing as well as to hear all of the stories that you shared with us, especially the miraculous cures
Sorry to interrupt. We have a live program in about 30 seconds.
Okay. Thank you so much. And we'll have you on again.
Great.
Thank you, Michelle,
and I'll email you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.